One of the biggest lessons I've learned in my journey as an entrepreneur is the importance of streamlining processes. Early on, I faced a lot of challenges managing the various aspects of my businesses, especially when it came to logistics. I was concerned that things wouldn't get done right, and it was taking up too much of my time. But once I found the right tools and systems, it allowed me to focus on what really matters, providing value and growing my business. That's why I want to share something with you today that can have the same impact on your business, especially if you're in e-commerce. We all know that shipping can be a major time suck and drain on our resources. That's where ShipStation comes in. ShipStation is a multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates seamlessly with whatever platform you're selling on. It's designed to streamline your shipping process so you can focus on scaling your business, even if you're out of the office or on a well-deserved vacation. I've been using ShipStation and can honestly say it's a game changer. The ability to automate shipping tasks and manage everything from one simple dashboard has not only saved me time, but also significantly reduced costs. It's tools like these that have helped me scale my businesses faster than I ever imagined. And the best part? Over 130,000 companies have experienced similar growth with ShipStation, and 98% of those who use it for more than a year stick with it for life. So if you're looking to work less and ship more, ShipStation is the tool you need to turn your shipping challenges into growth opportunities. Head over to ShipStation.com and use code BOOK, B-O-O-K, to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code BOOK, B-O-O-K. This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success.
All right, today we have a special guest in the building.
A big one.
The brand has legs, ladies and gentlemen.
The brand has legs. We always say that. You know, we're actually growing massive pods right now. This is the calf evolving.
Most definitely. Yeah. We got David Meltzer in the building. How you doing, sir?
Left-handed. What's going on, yes, boys? Sir.
Yeah, so I can start off with the icebreaker, you know, because I found something interesting the other day. I heard that someone paid a charity $19 million to get a meeting with Warren Buffett. You wind of this?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, what's your opinion on that, man? Do you think it's valuable to do something like that? What's your opinion on spending time like that?
Well, first of all, they overpaid, right? I know Warren Buffett, and he would have done it for a lot less, especially a charitable organization. Mm-hmm. But I think the concept is correct, mm-hmm. right? Surrounding yourself with the right people and the right ideas is the fastest way to get to where you want to be.
Yes.
Because the only way to get to where you want to be is find someone that's already there, ask them for directions. Not only do they have directions, but they also have all the people and all the vehicles in order to get you there faster. And so if it was me and my charity, I would have found a better way, a less expensive way to go ahead and get Warren Buffett a meeting with our charity and hopefully be able to entice him to donate far more. And hopefully he did far more than the $19 million that he gave them the value to exceed it.
Yeah.
I just think they overpaid but had the right idea.
Most definitely.
I mean, it goes back to that whole conversation that we always hear all the time. Would you rather take like $500K or have dinner with Jay-Z? Have you heard about that joke?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm all about, like, the dinner is, like, something that you can get a lot of information from, but if you're already knowledgeable about what you want to do, I'd rather take the money and invest it in myself, because once the dinner is over, I'm short of $500K, and who knows when I'll come close to getting that $500K without ever having to work for it, so.
Well, I think people aren't creative, right? They're not more interested. This is a world that I lived in for so long, so what I would do is I'd find out, you know, who Warren Buffett's heroes are.
Yeah.
And then I go to Warren Buffett's hero and say, hey, man, you want to come to dinner with me and Warren Buffett? And then tell Warren Buffett, hey, want to go to dinner with me and your hero? And he'd say, oh, yeah, how'd you do that, Dave? And then I get a free meal and I get to be with two important people. I'll give you an example. I won the Variety Magazine Sports Humanitarian of the Year.
Yeah.
Andre Reed from Buffalo. Andre, he announced me. He introduced me. Mm-hmm. Matthew McConaughey won the award behind me. Morgan Freeman in front of me. So Andre, before he goes on stage, said, Dave, you got to introduce me to Matthew McConaughey. I said, yeah, not a problem. Matthew McConaughey comes up. Andre's on stage. He said, David, I love Andre Reed. You got to introduce me to him. Mm-hmm. When I introduced them both, right, I was the hero.
Yes.
That's what you got to do.
So I'm curious, what was the time you invested heavily in yourself that I think paid off tremendously?
I lost over $100 million in 2008. Mm-hmm. That's probably the biggest investment of money I've ever made in myself.
Wow.
But when it comes down to belief, when I was in my second year of law school, my oldest brother passed away. Mm-hmm. My credit was crap. They were going to throw me out of law school. Mm-hmm. I got a job offer for $60,000 plus commission to sell golf clubs in Japan.
Yeah.
And so I went back for the funeral of my oldest brother. And I told my mom I was quitting law school and that I was going to go make some real money in Asia selling golf clubs. And this would be the start of my career. And she said to me, what do you mean? I said, I'm quitting school. She said, David, if you're not going to invest in yourself, what are you ever going to invest in?
Yeah.
I took out $100,000 of loans to go to law school. That was the greatest investment mm-hmm. that I ever made. Without that education, the experience, the relationships, the skills that I developed in law school, mm-hmm. I wouldn't be here today where I am.
Yes. And you've made your name a lot in the sports world, being mega agent and like mega mover in the sports business. What was your inclination to get into that space and build your name from there?
So it's funny, I've always dreamed of working in sports. Before I went to law school, I worked for Major League Baseball. I went to every single stadium, including the Sky Dome in 1990, which was brand new.
Yeah.
And I loved the hotel and the McDonald's that they had in there. I know it sounds funny to you guys. That was the first stadium with the McDonald's in it.
And the hotel, you can like look at the pitch. Oh, you could look
up. Oh, but worse, you could look up into the rooms. They had a change at the very beginning.
Yeah.
People leave the curtains open.
A lot of debacle happening.
Yeah.
Playing baseball. Right. You're seeing people just going crazy in their rooms.
You did.
Yeah.
But I wanted to work in sports. But through that process, I realized that you had to start at a very low level. And I was going to go to law school. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to make money to buy my mom a house and a car. So I became an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. got into technology, was Samsung CEO by the time I was 30 in 1999. Mm-hmm. Our first exit in 95 was $3.4 billion. But the interesting thing was somehow the universe worked in my favor. I met Lee Steinberg, mm-hmm. the man they made the movie Jerry Maguire about,
mm-hmm.
famous sports agent. He hired me in 48 hours to be the CEO of the most notable sports agency, not because I had the law degree, not because I was a sports at least enthusiast and business person, mm-hmm. meaning I paid for sponsorship, endorsements, and appearances. He hired me because of my technology background. Mm-hmm. He couldn't find a high-level executive that was a lawyer that understood sports and new technology. And because of that, he saw the future of sports, which he was correct, by the way, in 2006, 16 years ago, he saw the future of sports being in technology. So he hired a technology executive who had the other criteria. That's how I ended up in sports, in my dream job, by the way.
I'm curious, in sports, you've seen like ball players, football, all of them, right? What is like the best deal you've ever closed? And like, what's one deal that you look back that you lost and you're like, it still eats at you. Like, damn, I could have done this differently.
Oh, my last recruiting class with Lee was the greatest recruiting class ever. And unfortunately, Lee, who has now come out and talked about the disease that he has with his addictions. Mm-hmm. But we threw away a class of Eric Berry, Ndamukong Suh. We had five of the first 10 picks and we lost them all. Because Lee was unavailable as he had to go through rehab. And it was really frustrating. And the second question was my greatest success.
Yeah.
This will probably be different than you think, but I represented the Clemente family. So the Clemente
Award.
Baseball,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that it's the only humanitarian award. Has nothing to do with your performance on the field. Mm-hmm. Roberto Clemente gave his life in 1972 to in Nicaragua, trying to bring food down during New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. I worked on Jackie Robinson, the Clementes. Warren Moon was my business partner, which I still think is the greatest thing that has ever happened to me. Because of Warren Moon, by the way, you won't even hear today about a black quarterback, mm-hmm. just quarterbacks. There's so many black quarterbacks, nobody is worried about it anymore. Yeah. You know why? Because Warren Moon suffered up here in Edmonton for 6 years. Because they wouldn't let him play quarterback in the NFL, and they finally let him play, and he broke every single record in the NFL and is the first African American black in the Hall of Fame of both the United States and Canada.
It's crazy, incredible, man. Yeah.
Damn. So to get all these people, I know one thing you are incredible at is sales. Let's talk about that for a quick second. For us entrepreneurs, our audience is all entrepreneurs, right? So where do you see people going well when it comes to sales? Or where are some mistakes that you commonly see with people that are trying to become salesmen and sales ladies?
Yeah, where people do well is they have great desire, right? The commonality of all successful people is a spirit of excellence that they must be what they can be. Mm-hmm. And so I see great work ethic in salespeople. Mm-hmm. I think they have the right desire. The problem is nobody's teaching them the easy way to utilize the desire, to maximize that desire. So the biggest place that they make a mistake, the number one thing in sales is credibility. Mm-hmm. See, most people think it's the ability to articulate features and benefits. Mm-hmm. If you focus on the features and benefits, you have no true value. You're just able to talk about oversell, back end sell, lie, manipulate, even steal from people because you get them excited about the features and benefits. Mm-hmm. Credibility is the number one thing in sales. Yeah. What do I mean by that? If I'm 100% credible, which I've never been, by the way, but if I could be 100% credible, all I would tell you is buy this and you would buy this at whatever price I told you. So why not focus in on trying to be as credible as possible, then go to the emotional attachment that's necessary. Then the second biggest problem with salespeople is they use their efforts in the wrong way. Meaning they don't practice articulating the quantitative value of what they're selling to exceed what they're asking for. Remember with the word practice, they don't practice that. They just assume that you know as a customer why the solar panels will save you money. They haven't practiced articulating all the different methods and all the different features and benefits that allow that. And then today we have to also include impact. If you have credibility, emotional attachment, an ability to articulate the quantitative value to exceed what you're asking for, and impact, and you utilize features and benefits as an arsenal to add value to each of those four, instead of a reliant foundation to oversell, back-end sell, lie, manipulate, and cheat, if you can infuse the values of those four with the features and benefits and practice every day, I promise you, your statistical success will increase exponentially. You will make more money, help more people and have more fun selling than any other profession in the world. And it's recession proof, by the way.
So we're talking about practice, man.
Practice.
Practice. Like, shout out to Iverson.
Shout out to Iverson.
On that sales, right? There's like one new thing that's come out called the Challenger sale, right? Which a lot of people are adopting where, you know, the pleasantries of wooing and trying to get a sale like that. It works, but if you're coming in and you're using the Challenger method where you're coming in and you're attacking your prospect, you're saying, hey, look, you're losing market share to this firm. This is what you're going to lose if you don't do this, this, and this. Take this meeting. What are your thoughts about the Challenger sale? Where is it good for and when is it not applicable for?
Can't start with a challenge. You're in a scarce mode. You're living in a world of not enough or a world of just enough. You need to live in an abundant world. I have a challenge to the Challenger methodology, and it's called the open-minded methodology. Mm-hmm. See, most people don't realize that the number one qualifier to vet a prospect is an open mind. Now, everyone has an open mind at some time. Some people have open minds the majority of the time. Some people have open minds never or very rarely. So the first qualification is, do you have an open mind? And it's really easy to say, right? If you get someone open mind, you can say, how are you? You can get the reaction. This guy has an open mind. You can make fun of their shirt, say, hey, did you buy that on sale? They laugh. They know you have an open mind. Yes. If they get mad at me, I don't want to mess with them. Why? Because it takes 1,000 times minimum the effort to re-engineer a closed mind than to engineer an open mind. Open-minded people have open hearts. They have open hands. Also statistically making it easier to share a vision and to articulate the quantitative value. I don't need to create resistance by attacking you or challenging you. I simply have a template, which I'll give your entire audience for free. It changes. There's no one that uses my template that doesn't double their sales as fast as they could ever believe. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what you do. You first qualify for an open mind. You have an open mind. If you don't have an open mind, I give it three shots. It's called the three no rule. So I'll go back to you, see if you have an open mind. You don't have an open mind again. I'll go a third time. You don't have an open mind. I know that if you have an open mind, when I tell you, hey, this is not a good time, call me when it is, that I've accelerated the sales cycle and you call me. If you don't have an open mind, you'll never call me. Once again, great value, saving me time and effort of chasing a closed mind, of challenging a closed mind. Then more importantly, once I know you have an open mind, all I have to do is ask you, hey, what are you doing today? What are you doing today about solar, about your car? What are you doing today about tires? What are you doing today about security? What are you doing today? What do you like about it? Blah, 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 blah. What don't you like about it? Blah, 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 blah. Would it help you if I did this? Boom. Now I can say, do you know anyone that can help me? Or can you see any reason you won't want to move forward?
Yeah.
This simple template, utilizing open minds, open hearts, and open hands, not only gets you sales, but remember my last question, do you know anyone that can help me? Now I'm building a community of not only power sponsors, people that will help me, but also sponsors, people that know people that will help me. Because remember, people with open minds, open hearts, and open hands surround themselves with more people with open hearts, open minds, and open hands. Statistically, exponentially, giving you more of a pipeline than you ever could dream of, especially with social media today where we're so connected. This method would not have been utilized or worked 20 years ago because we didn't have the reach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people only know four people, it doesn't give you the exponential ratio. When the average 11-year-old has 1,000 people in their network, or a middle-aged mutant turtle has millions,
yeah,
get out of here. Use the open-minded and open question template in order to effectuate efficiency, effectiveness, and statistical success in sales. Forget the challenger methodology.
You're not about it, eh?
No. Okay. No scarcity in this world.
Okay, all abundance.
Yeah, you don't have to compel people.
Yeah.
You can allow them to share your vision and value.
Gotcha. I love it. I love it. I want to open up a conversation to another topic. Let's you've lost 100 million, like you mentioned earlier. Over 100 million. Mm-hmm. So if you were to start over today without your network from zero, where would you go from there?
Well, I tell myself whether I was 14, 24, 34, 44, and I have to remind myself every day this, ask for help. We talked about earlier, finding someone that sits in a situation that I want to be in, and ask them for directions. It's the fastest and easiest way. That's why people pay $19 million to sit with Warren Buffett, because they can find that quantitative value. So I don't think people feel comfortable asking for help. I think humility is in the essence of asking for help. I think if you are ignorant and humble, you'll ask for help. If you're ignorant and arrogant, you'll continue to pretend like I did when I was young, that I know what I know. Feeling like an imposter. Mm-hmm. Let me just tell you both. I don't know what I don't know. Mm-hmm. So if I don't know it, I'm going to spend my time, especially because of the digital world we live in, finding someone that does and asking them for direction. The greatest thing about asking for help is not only do you get helped, but you make the person that you're asking for help feel good.
Yes.
You're adding value to their life. See, the problem with all the challenger methodologies, people who are afraid to ask for help, is that they live in a zero-sum game. This is what I call scarcity. Mm-hmm. They live in a zero-sum game. So they think if I ask you for help that you're going to lose something.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't understand. To the biochemical level, when you ask for help, dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, endorphins are released by the giver, by the receiver, and by the witness. Mm-hmm. So that's God rewarding you biochemically, telling you, here's a dose of happiness.
Yes.
Because you're uniting everyone and affirming that we don't live in a zero-sum game. There is not just enough or not enough. You're not a victim. You're always being promoted and protected in a world of more than enough. Mm-hmm. So when you ask for help, receive help, or witness help, you're adding value to the world. The world is accelerating, growing, and expanding. You should be too.
Yes.
It's definitely. Most definitely. And one thing that you're about to grow into is your new show, right? Talk to us about your new show. What's going on there?
Yeah. So I've been blessed to, you know, produce a lot of movies and TV shows lately, and started with Elevator Pitch with Entrepreneur Magazine, executive produced that. Then I moved to 2 Minute Drill, which was the first pitch only show, getting away from the funding facade, trying to pretend like on TV you could vet a company and do your due diligence in 20 minutes.
Give a deal. Yeah.
But I can give you good advice on a pitch. Okay. But my new show, Office Hours, mm-hmm. I now leverage the billionaires, like Warren Buffett, by mm-hmm. the way, the millionaires, the entrepreneurs, celebrities, athletes, and entertainers about business and success. So from Cameron Diaz to Dan Aykroyd, from mm-hmm. Brett Favre to, you know, we did Michael Chandler, the UFC champ, or Austin Eckler of the Chargers, mm-hmm. you know, to Tillman Fertitta, Steve Jones. The list will go up. Deepak Chopra to Sad Guru.
Yes.
All on the show mm-hmm. asking them, what is the spirit of excellence? How can I enjoy the consistent, everyday, persistent, without quit pursuit of my mm-hmm. potential? Mm-hmm. And this show has more golden nuggets given with the biggest names in the world. And mm-hmm. it's on Apple TV. And I've been developing shows for Apple now. Mm-hmm. Martha Stewart and I developed these entrepreneur shows. Mm-hmm. And it's going to change the world.
Hello, Apple.
Yeah, hello, hit us up.
Yeah.
You're big on like mental energy, visualization, imagination. When did you realize that was a big part of achieving success? The mentality and like, okay, you can get all the money, but it all starts with the mindset. When did you first realize that that's a major part in the goals that you're going to accomplish for yourself?
2 years before I went bankrupt, my wife threatened to leave me mm-hmm. because she said I didn't have the right mindset, mm. heart set, or even handset. She told me I was surrounding myself with the wrong people mm. and the wrong ideas, that I better take stock in who I was. Mm. And so I started to shift. I call it my quantum shift, mm-hmm. transform myself to a better person, taking stock in who I was, values like gratitude, forgiveness, accountability, living in spirit, inspired, not thinking I was in control. The only thing I was in control of is my mindset. I give meaning to everything I see. Is my heart set, how I feel, and my effort, which was never a problem. Yes. But instead of trying to go get more happy, more healthy, more wealthy, and more worthy, mm-hmm. I shifted my paradigm in 2006 to say that I am happy, healthy, wealthy, worthy. And I started figuring out what I was doing to interfere with it.
Claiming it now.
Claiming it now. It already exists. And it wasn't as if I sat around high on my mom's couch dreaming mm-hmm. about being rich. Mm-hmm. You know, it's 50% effort, but it's also a surrender to something bigger than me that loves me more than my mom. Yes. That one idea, all the setbacks, failures, and mistakes of the past and the future just means I'm protected and promoted. Mm-hmm. I utilize today in a realistic, dogmatic, man-made construct of time. Everyone gets 24 hours today. Our past are relative. There's different times and meanings to our past, different times and meanings to our future. But today we share 24 hours. So I teach people, how do I be productive, accessible, and gracious today in a trajectory of unrealistic objectives in the future? Mm. If you look down my calendar today, there's nothing I'm doing that you guys can't do. Mm. But the reason I get to do everything I do today is because my audacious future, when I meet someone, say, what are you about? I'm about changing the world, man. I'm going to empower over 1 billion people yes. to be happy. I'm going to teach them to make money, help people. They laugh at me. That dude, you see him over there? He thinks he's an ex-sports agent. He's going to change the world. You're damn right I am. But if you look at what I'm doing today, very realistic. Yeah. But my future objectives are a trajectory of mm. unrealistic expectations that will blow people away. They'll laugh at me today,
yeah.
make fun of me today. They'll applaud me as they do in the future every single time.
As we work towards wrapping up, one thing you mentioned there that was so key and something that I've been focusing on is happiness, you know? So talk to us about your journey creating a more happier life and when that dawned on you and how do you implement that, you know?
Yeah, so unfortunately, at the time, my youngest daughter was 12. One of her very good friends committed suicide.
Wow.
And it rocked me, man, because I've been around, you know, all types of addiction and PTSD and CTE. Mm-hmm. I've been around Junior Seau's death and all types of things, but I couldn't get a hold in my mind of why a 12-year-old would take their own life. So I started doing research on happiness. And I realized through my research that the number one rising cause of death in America in every demographic is suicide. And it came to me, man, we got a happiness problem. And so I started saying, I have great capability. I've been blessed by the Almighty himself to be a communicator. And with all these lessons I've learned, I still am one of the most happy people in the world. Mm-hmm. How can I teach this? And what is happiness? And I said, on Earth today, I've never met anyone that makes a lot of money helps a lot of people and has a lot of fun that isn't happy. Not one person.
Yeah.
And so I started to create daily practices and values that I could teach people like you all to teach other people, to teach other people. And I said to myself, I'm going to, before I leave this earth, create a collective consciousness of happiness. Mm-hmm. I'm going to empower you guys to empower other people, to empower other people to be happy and create abundance, to value add their life until we all sit around in a complete ease, not dis-ease.
Yes, sir. You're big on values. Share us your values. Share your values. What are they?
There's four values, and they are the foundational principles of my life, of my company, of my family. Number one, gratitude gives me perspective. I find the light, the love, and the lessons, and determine within the context of time, reconciling whether it's worth it to find the light, the love, and the lessons in people, places, or things. Two, forgiveness. It brings me peace. Mm. It allows me to maximize the power of that which I'm connected to and through. Three, accountability. Two questions to ask myself every day with accountability. What did I do to participate in this? And what am I supposed to learn from it? And then finally, effective communication, which is inspiration. Motivation will get you up, get you backed up, get you started, get you back started. But inspiration will get you there. You have to be inspired. You have to believe there's something bigger than you that loves you more than your mom loves you. And if you believe that, every setback, failure, mistake is just a lesson that puts you to a better place, a better position, or in a better situation. You are living a life of protection and promotion, not punishment. Gratitude, empathy, accountability, and effective communication, I guarantee will bring you value of abundance, make money, help people, and have fun, guaranteed. And you just got to practice it every day.
Yeah. Most definitely.
Beautifully said. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, that wraps the podcast. The hustle is what you can control. So control your grind. I control your life. I'm Alex.
And I'm Owen Osinde.
I'm David Meltzer.